And then we're going to finish a conversation we started a few months ago about dreams. How many of you have a dream that God's given you about something just absolutely beyond your capability, beyond your bank account, beyond what you think your skill set is? Yeah, we all do. We all should. If you don't, then hopefully you'll leave here with something tonight. God wants to use each of us. Our lives matter, and He's deposited on the inside of each of us something tremendous. And I think that we're going to talk about that tonight with Deborah and Russell. But first, I want to go to James chapter 2 and kind of set it up, if you will. So let me just begin here. If you'll remember, last week we stopped in verse 13. So today we're just going to start in verse 14. And let me just say this. Everything James has been preaching is not against the gospel of grace. It actually supports it. And you're going to see it tonight probably clearer than ever. So this is what he begins to say in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. All right, and this is where a lot of people, and if you don't really change your way of thinking, you could come away from a session in James with a very legalistic bent, right? He goes on to say, but someone will say, quote, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Okay? And then he goes on to say, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. So what he's getting at, it's not about what's in your head that matters so much. It's what is in your heart. And of course, if you have a true belief in Jesus Christ in your heart, this is something that you will do. You will work. And you're going to work harder and longer and stronger and more effective and more efficient and more joyfully and more prosperously than any religious person that you know. Because you're not doing it for the wrong reason, so God will love you. You're doing it because He already does. So embracing the gospel means that you are going to be able to do all that's in your heart. And that's why God gives us dreams and visions. That's why He puts stuff in our heart so that we will do things. You think Paul? I mean, you could look at his life and think, my God, man, take a break. Even Jesus went and hung out and rested a while. We don't see Paul do that very often. He was all about the mission because there was something in front of him. I sat with a guy in his 60s this morning, and he goes, look, I know I push very hard, but I realize now I'm closer to the end of my life than the beginning, and there's stuff I want to do. There's things in my heart I want to see fulfilled. So he's all about getting it done, and I think that's okay as long as we keep the right perspective. But one thing's for certain, in a church like ours, I mean, our mantra is we help people. And so we're all about the doing of the gospel. And so what James is saying here is, if you just say you believe and never do anything for anybody else, then you're just like a demon that says, oh yeah, I know Jesus is the Son of God. They know it, friends, and they're not saved. They're going to spend eternity in hell. It's not what we know in here. It's down here. And when you have this encounter with Jesus in here, your life is going to be all about the mission. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to be all about the river once in a while, or all about Disneyland once in a while, or all about, you know, vacation and fun time and all that. But Jesus is into that stuff too. He ain't tripping. He likes to have fun, right? You don't have to compartmentalize that. He's okay with you going and refreshing. In fact, you'll enjoy serving Him a lot more when you do regularly take breaks. You know, we do it every year. We go away to some place that we don't take our kids. They're not allowed to go with us. We always go somewhere with them every year. But then we go a couple of times or two or three times on short little trips, just the two of us, and they're not allowed to go. They're not invited. And frankly, I'd like to just be completely checked out, and within 10 minutes of, you know, getting to the pool somewhere, I hear my wife telling somebody we pastor a church and all about Jesus, and, you know, she's over here praying for somebody, and I'm trying to read a book and, you know, hang out and get a suntan. And God's okay with that stuff, right? And you know, I mean, I always preach better when I come back from those trips. I'm always more excited. I'm more in love with you. I always know when it's time for me to take a little break because I'm irritated about everything. And that's like God saying, here's your sign. You need to go take a day or two. So anyway, James is essentially just saying that your life is going to, you know, I say it all the time. If you're saved and you know it, your face ought to show it. Well, if your face is showing it, your whole life is going to show it as well. And you're going to be just all about, you know, getting in touch with whatever it is God's putting in front of you to do. Again, I mentioned on Sunday that the book, The Naked Gospel, Andrew Farley, he had this religious thing that he felt like he wasn't honoring God if he didn't go witness to somebody at least once a day, every day. So he'd get up out of bed and go do it, and it was a drudgery, and it was a pressure, and he felt like God was disappointed if he didn't. Let me just be clear. It's a good thing to tell people about Jesus, but it is not a good thing to feel like that you're earning God's love and acceptance because you're supposed to do that to make him happy because he deserves you to do that. That is not what this is about. I mean, you know, believe me, we have a kitchen in our house because it came with the house. You know what I mean? And I think I deserve some food once in a while out of my kitchen. But the way to get that is not to tell my wife, well, you know, if I were you, I'd go cook me something to eat. I mean, how many of you know that is not the prescription for a healthy, strong, lasting relationship? Well, guess what? God's not doing that to you either. Well, if I were you and somebody like me died for somebody like you, I'd go work my butt off every day so that you make sure I'm happy with you. Do you see the difference there? So I'm not trying to say that we're not doing all this stuff. We're doing it all. But the purpose and the motivation behind it all is completely different for me than it used to be. So now, it goes on to say, he gets into some stuff we talked about last week. It's a trip how James is running so parallel to the book of Romans. So he says this now. Was not Abraham, verse 21, our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Remember that was all chapter 4 of Romans, wasn't it? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Listen closely now, because again, if you're not getting the context of what he's saying, and you just read that one, let's just say you're having one of those days, and you're thinking, oh, Lord, I just feel so condemned. Let me just refresh myself. So you just plop open the Bible and say, okay, right there. And you land on that one. See, that could confuse you. It says, where was it now? Come on. Okay, here we go. You see then, verse 24, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. If you didn't hear the context of what he was saying, you could walk away and think and preach a sermon, and people do it every Sunday, you are justified by works. Well, what he's saying is your works support your faith. They show, they shine the light on your true belief. And you know, there's a breaking in period to this, you know. You grow in this relationship. So sometimes people could look at your life for maybe, I don't know, 5-10 years and think, well, the fruit just isn't there for that person. You know what I mean? But see, that person has set themselves up as a fruit inspector. And so it's up to them how much and how long. Listen to me now. It's up to them how much and how long you have to do before they decide it's good enough. That is not Bible. The moment you receive Jesus, it's done, but now you'll just learn to live more outside yourself, more extrospective instead of introspective, and that'll begin to happen. But what James is saying here is, if you truly believe it, there's going to be some action. He said, you know, he's saying, I don't even have to make that happen. That's not even a command, all right? The command is to believe, and when you believe, you're going to be doing stuff. Eventually, you will be doing stuff. So that's what he's saying. Yet you are justified by faith, but yet your faith is going to produce action. Remember this story, and I read this not too long ago, and I can't remember if it was James or Romans, but how Jesus said the man, the two people, one built on the sand, one built on the rock. Remember that? The only difference is one acted on the word that he received, and one didn't. Let me make perfectly clear here what I'm saying, because I spend a lot of time hammering out of us this idea that we have to do stuff to receive God's love and favor. But now let me back up and say that we are all about doing the gospel. And so Jesus tells the story of the man that heard the gospel and didn't do anything, and then that heard the gospel and just lived it and stood on it. Well, that guy was like the wise man that built on the rock. That's all James is saying. When you hear it and receive it into your heart, then it's going to be easy for you to be able to say, man, praise God, I'm only doing this because Jesus, right? And that's what he's saying. Now watch, he'll go on further and kind of explain this even further. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out the other way? Rahab the harlot, I love that. I love the way God just puts that title on her. Even centuries later, just so we know that we're not all that. You know what I mean? Because so we think that everybody in the Bible was a big hero, but she was a harlot and a hero. Awesome, huh? So that means wherever you are, you're a hero, just like these people. God's doing something in your circumstance. He's doing something in your life. He's doing something in your world and using you to be an agent of change. And see, we could focus on changing the world, but if we just focus on being loved, we'll change the world a lot quicker. Does that make sense? And that's kind of what James is saying here. Let me read that part again. Was not Rahab the harlot also justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? She wasn't technically justified by her works, because that's not how you get justified, is it? But her works proved out what she believed. Had she said, well, I believe in your God, but you're on your own, man. I tell you, when the Jericho walls fell down, she might not have walked out unscathed with her entire family. I want you to listen to that. Her whole family was saved because she believed, and that belief then pushed her into a compromising position in her own life. So now watch this, and it finishes this way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The problem is so many people get caught up. There's a line here that you have to be careful with, or else you'll be like the guy that Amanda and Crystal Gardner ran into the other day at the park. The guy said, oh, you're a Christian? Well, we talked for 5 minutes over here, and you never even told me about Jesus. I told Amanda, you should have told him, well, I didn't want you to go to heaven. See, people, he's probably one of those guys that feels like, yeah, if you're saved, then why didn't you tell me about Jesus, Jack? You know, sometimes I just don't feel like telling people about Jesus. Is that okay to say? I mean, I get in an elevator, and I don't always want to talk to strangers. I just want to look at my feet and wish I was already at the first floor. I'm just being honest. And then sometimes I chat people up and whatever, you know. But I'm not required to witness to everybody I see. There's no requirement. So now, the dream, let's get back to that, because now we're gonna start this conversation in just a minute. But the dream then becomes something that you're going to do. I used to watch these e-biographies all the time, years ago, when E was a bigger thing, I guess, in those days. But it always fascinated me to hear these people that were flat out rank heathens, at least in their lifestyle, right? But they worked so hard and they gave such diligent effort and they spent every waking moment thinking and dreaming and working toward this goal. And then here they are, you know, they're big stars and whatever it was that they wanted to do, acting or singing or whatever. And I used to think, man, you know, why is it? I mean, it should be the same for us, right? It's so focused and so passionate about those things. And so there is a reciprocating payoff for somebody that does, right? Because that's the world we live in. Somebody that does invest their life. So if God's given you a dream, then guess how that dream's going to happen? You got to put life to it. You got to put air to it. You know, and believe me, some people aren't going to like it that you have a dream. Well, who do you think you are? Got a dream. Let me tell you something. And, you know, you guys come up here. While you're coming up here, I'm gonna take some time to tell a story. This is Deborah and Russell Williams. Deborah will probably do most of the talking tonight, but I am on